Chapter 8.
No!
I was crying as I stared at Uncle Gurvinder and Inderjeet. My uncle held my arms, trying to keep me calm. I kicked my foot out and hit someone's leg, but I didn't care. They had all lied to me. They had agreed together to trick me. It was like a computer game when you think that you've killed all the enemies on that level, but there is one left behind you. Game over. Game over. You all lied, all of you, I cried.
No, Manjeet, no.
My uncle let go of my arms.
We didn't know. They didn't tell us anything.
That's not true. You all knew. That's why you took me to Anandpur, so that I wouldn't know that they were gone.
No, brother,
Inderjeet started speaking too.
We never knew a thing about it, honestly.
I thought about it for a minute. Then I decided that I didn't care who had known. My dad, Mum, Harry, Baljeet. They had all tricked me. They had made me believe that they were going to Delhi. But the truth was that they had gone back to England and left me in India. I wanted to be on my own, so I went outside. I was crying, and I felt like I wanted to throw up. I closed my eyes and felt my head hurting and my stomach turning over and over. I stood there like that for about 10 minutes until I fell over. Someone, probably my uncle, lifted me and carried me back into one of the bedrooms. I didn't even open my eyes. And then I remembered the conversation that I'd had with Harry on the day that my dad had told me that the passports had been stolen.
Try laughing next month when you're still here, he had said.
I hadn't understood then, but now his words stayed in my mind, laughing at me and telling me that I had been so stupid. They had tricked me, and I had trusted them. I spent the next few days not talking to anyone and eating my food alone. My uncles and cousins tried to make me feel better, but I mostly just ignored them. Sometimes I went to a small yard at the back of the house where someone had tied a hammock between two trees. I started spending most of my days in it, writing in my notebook and smoking. My only visitors were Inderjeet and a man called Mohan, who was one of the servants that worked for the family. My family were of the Jat caste, the farmers of the Punjab, and like most other Jat families, they had servants from a lower caste. Mohan had seemed quite pleased to see me. He was happy to have someone to talk to. He was cool, Mohan, getting me cigarettes and telling me stories about his childhood. It was nice to talk to someone with a different experience of India, whose family had never had any money. I asked him about the caste system, and he always said that some people were born to be kings, while others were born to wear rags. I told him that I didn't agree, and that I thought all people should be equal.
You're right, Manjeet, he said. We're all monkeys in this life.
He laughed.
Then he said, but even in the monkey world, there are big monkeys and small monkeys.
So you're a small monkey then? I smiled. Mohan thought about it.
Maybe I am, Manjeet.
Well, I don't think we Jat are better than you because you're a servant. We just have the money and land, and that doesn't make us better, I said. Mohan laughed.
For a young monkey, you're very clever, he said.
I got a letter from Jas about 2 weeks after my parents had returned to England without me. It was the 3rd week of August, and I had been in India since the beginning of June. In the letter, she said sorry, and she promised me that she hadn't known anything about the plan. She said that Harry had known, but Ranjit hadn't. My dad had left me here because he was worried that I might try to run away if I went back to England before my arranged marriage. The wedding was planned for November, the day of my 17th birthday, and in September he would send me a ticket to come home, and Ranjit and Harry would meet me at the airport. She also said this: "You received a letter last week that I collected and opened for you. I hope that's okay. It was from your friend Adi. He wanted to know where you were and what was happening. He wrote that he has been trying to contact you all summer. He gave his new address, and he said that a girl called Lisa has been asking about you by email. Is that another friend? Your dad doesn't know that I've written to you, so please don't tell him. I feel so guilty that you have been left there alone. You may not believe me, but I really miss having my little brother-in-law here to talk to. I'm so sorry about what has happened. See you in a few weeks. Love, Jas." Once I had read the letter, my mind was full of thoughts. Had Adi emailed Lisa? Where was she? Still in Australia? Was Adi a dad yet? Had he realised that I had been kept in India? And then I realised that my passport must still be here in the house if they wanted me to go back in September. I decided that I would try to find it, and then I lit a cigarette and thought about Lisa. I fell asleep, but I was soon woken by a loud, deep voice.
"Who's this monkey sleeping in my hammock?"
His voice sounded like I had heard it before. I opened my eyes, and I saw a man who was about the same height as my father, but with long hair. He was wearing a t-shirt, jeans, and trainers. I was confused about why he was wearing Western clothes. Then Mohan came towards us, smiling, and said, "Say hello to your youngest uncle, Manjeet." I looked at him without saying anything.
"Yes, I'm your youngest uncle, and it's nice to meet you."
The man smiled and held out his hand.
"I'm Jag,